Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, here today with Joe Cook, InsideTexas.com beat reporter. He was on hand today at DKR to meet with head coach Steve Sarkisian at the press conference. Was able to ask a couple of questions of the coach as well. Joe, welcome to the show. Initial thoughts on what Steve Sarkisian had to say.
Yeah, he wasn't as firm or stern or strong or whatever you want to put it today as he was in past weeks. And, you know, that makes sense. He was riding high off a pretty great showing against Alabama, two wins over ULM and UTSA. But I don't want to say he was I don't know the exact word, but he wasn't as didn't come with the same gusto as he had in previous weeks. And that makes sense. His team lost a game that they were picked to win, that they led 34-17 at one point and or something like that, 31-17. And, you know, he didn't have the same confidence, and it makes sense. And he, you know, one thing I credit Steve Sarkisian on is being pretty forthright with answering questions. And I think he was that again today. And but sometimes being that forthright reveals some interesting problems. And I think we've locked in on a couple, both on offense and defense.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that now. But, you know, one of the things he also hit on was, you know, the fact that he still thinks his team is better, but there's a process to that versus getting the results you want. Explain what he was talking about in that regard, process versus results.
Yeah, that was my big takeaway. And I think there's an extremely large contingent of the fan base, and they are fully well within their right to say, Texas is 2-2. What's changed? We just lost on the road again in a Big 12 game. What's changed? And yeah, 100% true. They're 2-2. They lost on the road again. They blew another halftime lead. But something you and I were just talking about is that this team, it is better. Like, and if they play a team like, let's say, I don't know, a Power 5 lower rung team. So I'll throw this out there, like a Virginia or a, you know, Georgia Tech. They play that as their team. They're probably sitting at 3-1 and maybe 4-0 with confidence. They didn't, obviously, and now they're 2-2. But I think in looking at how they played against Bama, looking how they played against UTSA, looking how they played in the first half against Texas Tech, you can tell that this team has improved in certain areas. The defense still has a significant amount of issues. It's better. The offense still has a significant amount of issues. It's still better. The process to get them better, I think, has been successful, but this is a results-oriented business, and that's the main thing at the end of the day and what fans care about most, what the administrators care about most, players, coaches alike, you know, everybody. So what we're seeing now, I feel like, is a process that's definitely improved, but now we're still wondering, where are the results? When are they going to finally show up? Because you can have an improved process. Does that mean it's the best process? Well, we're still kind of waiting to see, and we may not know that until West Virginia and then even OU after that. That's going to tell us a lot. But I think that, you know, you and I both kind of agreed on this, that the team is better. They play better, even with Hudson Card at quarterback and, you know, freshmen on the offensive line and, you know, a similar cast of characters on defense. They've played better. But those results aren't there. And most people, rightfully so, care about the results, and it's that type of business, and they haven't gotten them still under Steve Sarkisian, which is why you see a lot of fans' patience being very tested with Sarkisian and running out on defense, because, you know, there's a lot of people you can put 100 plays on. It's a complimentary game. Any defense is going to be worn out by 100 plays, but how did you get to that point? All us to say that patience for Pete Kwiatkowski is probably a lot less than it is for Steve Sarkisian right now.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned the need to play better and to improve results alongside the process of getting better overall. And one of the things that Steve Sarkisian mentioned today was the need to sync up the defensive front and the pressure calls with the back end and what they're doing simultaneously on the back end. Let me ask you this. Explain what he meant by that, first of all. Second of all, it sounded to me something like what I talked with Brian Irwin today earlier on the Lunch with the Coach video, in that Brian wants to get a little tighter across the board when you're in obvious down and distance situations to make it more difficult on the quarterback instead of just hitting stationary receivers. Did that sound like what Steve Sarkisian was trying to talk about during today's press conference?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I kind of think so. Remember, let's think about how the staff is made up. You got Pete Kwiatkowski, defensive coordinator, and an edge rusher, defensive end coach by trade. The defensive passing game coordinator is Terry Joseph, who comes in, he runs PK stuff, but he also has things that he's very proficient in. And it's on those two to say, hey, if our blitzes are doing this, then our coverage needs to do this. And whatever it is, whether it's in the moment or in Monday through Friday, they haven't been the right level of in sync. So I'm with Coach Irwin. I think that if you're going to put some pressure on a quarterback, don't give them very easy windows to throw into. And again, that's not an easy ask. You know, when you bring five, you're letting six, or if you bring six, you know, letting five sit back. Maybe they're running four downfield. That's a lot of one-on-one situations they have to win, and you hope that they can win at Texas. But still, there are good schemes in the Big 12. Zach Kittley's a good schemer. And if there are open windows, easy open windows, and that pressure doesn't get there in time, then, you know, you got problems. So I'm with him. I think that there has to be some tighter coverage. I mean, Steve Sarkisian wanted that before the season started. He talked about how much he really wanted to have them play stickier in pass coverage. And that may be, you know, maybe they need to reemphasize that going forward. So this is kind of some stuff that we saw last year, that even with, you know, at least a decently called front, if the back doesn't match it, then, you know, there's going to be problems that the back has to answer for the defensive secondary. And sometimes they just weren't able to do that against Texas Tech on Saturday.
I got to ask you this. Texas versus Texas Tech on fourth down. Ian Boyd of Inside Texas wrote a tremendous article with graphic explanation today of each of the fourth downs. He broke it down with video. For $1 for 1 month at Inside Texas, it's a special that we run for new members only. But Joe, get to what Sark said about their success on fourth down and on third down even for Texas Tech over the weekend.
You know, if you go into that game, like it sounds like Joey McGuire did, or at some point made the adjustment, like said, hey, we're going for it. And I think this is something that he echoed post game, and maybe he reset it again on Monday. Your third down, second down. If you got third and eight, you're like, okay, let me make it fourth and two. That changes how, you know, and again, that's something that needs adjusting to. But if that's the way they're going to operate, then it does help the offense a lot to be able to say, hey, you know, don't worry about picking up all eight of these. Go ahead and get fourth and two. And something I'm sure Ian, I haven't quite looked through it yet, but I'm sure Ian mentioned, and I know he's mentioned to us, is, you know, Donovan Smith is 6'5", 230, and you can just fall forward. You got 3 yards right there. So that helps a lot, and that's one of the ways that they converted and even scored a touchdown. So a lot of it, you know, I'll go back to tired legs. You know, that made a difference. If you're going for it on fourth down, it's because you think you can keep the plays going and keep going and make them even more tired. They were able to execute that. There were some times when Donovan Smith was kind of held in the grasp, but he got out of it. You know, they were this close, but again, they were this close. So they weren't able to do that. I don't know if that's a blueprint going forward, because, you know, I don't know if other teams have a player who's in the mold of Donovan Smith. Just thinking about the next three opponents, I mean, that's not what JT Daniels is. That's definitely not what Dylan Gabriel is. And I don't think that's what Hunter Deckers is. So I need to watch a little bit more of them. Not what, you know, keep going there. Not what Spencer Sanders is. Not really what Adrian Martinez is, though he can use his legs. I guess the closest thing would be Jalen Daniels, and that's not what he's like either. It's a different type of running quarterback. So they may not face this again. I don't know if that's going to be a sustainable thing for other opponents to use, that quarterback run game or the threat of the quarterback run game. But a lot of it had to do with just, you know, not being able to get a guy down, and the way the offense was coordinated, thinking, hey, we have, if you're on second and eight, it's like, okay, we got second down, third down, fourth down to get 8 yards. That's doable for most offensive coordinators, especially when you emphasize short passing. Like, I don't think, aside from those deep passes, the one on the offside and interference play, I don't think there were very many explosive plays, maybe like one or two for Tech, but they knew they could just dink and dunk down the field, got there. And then conversely with Texas, you know, they decided the Wildcat was the way to go. And Sarkisian mentioned today that he thinks, you know, they run diverse personnel and formations out of that. And I agree with that. I think they'll run that out of, you know, whatever looks it is, multiple tight ends, one tight end, multiple backs, something like that. But until they add a pass wrinkle or some other wrinkle, it's kind of basic right now. And that's one of the risks you take with the Wildcat, that it can remain that basic, and that, you know, it's either handoff or read. And, you know, until the threat of the pass is there, it's not going to be there. You know, teams aren't going to really respect it. So I'm kind of just thinking, you know, maybe sometimes I need to go conventional offense on third and fourth down instead of with the Wildcat. I know that, you know, Roshan's very adept at that, and that the lack of Quinn Ewers is part of that, but it didn't seem extremely creative, and I think that's what Texas Tech was able to key in on multiple times. And it just speaks to, you know, if you want to go into this, the interior of the offensive line, Hayden Connor, Jake Majors, and Cole Hudson, they haven't been very, you know, impactful in the run blocking. I feel like I feel like they've been pretty darn good pass blocking, which you'd think would be backwards, but run blocking, they it's been Bijan and Roshan have worked for every single yard they've had to get.
They're not the problem with the offensive line, and you can say it across the board, they're not moving people. Christian Jones notwithstanding, he's had a good year run blocking, more so even than pass blocking, in my opinion. Everybody else is pass blocking better than they are run blocking. The Texas got almost no movement, you know, against Texas Tech. And that's one of the reasons why most Texas fans, I think, are disappointed in the play calling from Steve Sarkisian in the second half. He seemed determined to get the run game going, but he couldn't get it. He couldn't get it going because, you know, Texas Tech was living in the backfield and stopping it for 1 and 2 yard gains. Texas Tech, however, had the same problem. Texas was stopping the Texas Tech run. And what Texas Tech was able to do is still move the ball down the field with the short pass. And so at what point does Texas need to take a hint from someone else's playbook, I guess, to move the ball? Because Texas did have four unproductive drives in the second half, only scoring 10 points. Texas Tech had successful drives on 4 out of 6 possessions in the second half. You know, that ultimately ended up being the ball game, along with Bijan's fumble in overtime and the number of plays Texas had to play on defense compared to what they ran on offense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Joe, I want to ask you one more question about something here as it relates to Steve Sarkisian. All season long, he's been kind of coy about the quarterbacks. Again today, he was non-committal, but he sounded a little bit different what he said about the QBs.
Yeah. Again, you know, one of the things he's been going back to is that they all practice. And, you know, that's true. They did all practice. He brought Quinn Ewers out to Lubbock, and I don't think, you know, he even mentioned this, with the 70 that you have, you try to be very mindful of what you're bringing. But, you know, he brought Quinn out there, I think, kind of as a partially to, you know, make sure that the read was still a little muddied for Joey McGuire and company, and you know, just to keep up pretenses that hey, he could play, but we kind of knew it was Hudson Card. Today he said it's still up in the air. Again, he reiterated they all practiced today. They all practiced last week, and he said I think he knows more as the week goes on. We're kind of getting to that point to where this is where, you know, the window is there for Quinn Ewers to return. You know, when it was 3 to 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, I think this is kind of the beginning of that 3 and, you know, maybe that 4. And again, remember, it's his non-throwing shoulder. So part of it is re-injury risk and pain tolerance, because his right shoulder is fine. He threw well in warm-ups. He's starting to take more reps. We reported on this on Inside Texas and the Inside Scoop, how much he got last week. Probably going to be shifting going forward this week. And, you know, I think everybody personally thinks Texas' best chance to win is with Quinn Ewers to really help that offense go. So I thought he was about – he's delivered a similar message as he has in weeks past. But based off what we know on Inside Texas, what we put in the scoop, this is the opening of that window, and I think Steve Sarkisian knows that for him and his team to have their best chances, they need number 3 on the field.
Any comments on Xavier Worthy and or Moro Ojomo and their status after being injured? Worthy in the second half against Texas Tech. Ojomo did not even make the trip to Lubbock, the senior defensive lineman from Katy.
Yeah, and he was missed pretty badly. With Ojomo, trying to see where in my notes where I may have put it, but Ojomo, like you said, missed with I think a lower leg injury, suffered during the week of practice. That's why he didn't make the trip. And then, you know, Xavier Worthy, he was, you know, there in the first half. There was a long pass play where you know, he limped off the sideline and didn't come back. So he said Moro Ojomo did practice today. Something that didn't sound like he was able to do late last week. And he called Xavier Worthy day to day. I think that, you know, that with what we know about day to day means you can kind of get some stuff done, but can't do everything he'd like for you to be able to do in practice. But I think we all know how important Xavier Worthy is to this offense, because as good of a player Jordan Whittington is, he struggled to get separation as a deep threat. And as good of a player, as much talent as Ajay Hall has, you know, he wasn't out there for very many series. And when it came down to it and they needed somebody, they put Tariq Milton out there at a certain point. So those guys, it didn't seem, you know, that bad of an injury. X-rays were negative for Worthy, so I'm real curious what it was. And Sarkisian's always kind of been intentionally coy with injuries unless they're season-ending or, you know, debilitating for – a multi-week exit. So he didn't give very many details, but, you know, Moro Ojomo, from what we know about him, he's the type of guy that wants to get out there on the field as quickly as possible. And I think the fact that he was able to just even practice today after being held out on Saturday speaks to the progress he's trying to make for this football team.
No, that's good. I mean, that's a good note there. I want to kind of end the comments on the press conference and show this video, but because Sark did mention one thing in the press conference that I want to show. But let Matt, our producer, will you please bring up this video post-game? For those of you that haven't seen this, this is the scene on the field after the game where Tech fans spew onto the field. This is Ovi Ogufu getting pushed by a random fan. It's the kind of stuff that frankly shouldn't happen at any place, much less a conference foe that you've been around for, you know, 50 years, 60, whatever it is since Texas have been playing. Yet it happens again and again every single time anytime Texas Tech wins in Lubbock. Furthermore, the amount of debris that went on the field during the game was ridiculous. I talked to Coach Brian Irwin about that, said they had multiple timeouts where they had to clear debris off the field as well. What did Sark have to say about not only this, but the situation in Lubbock at large?
You know, he credited his team for being composed. He said, and I was there, I could kind of tell that, you know, they bring staffers out onto the field, but their job isn't to prevent people from going onto the field. It's to try to make a path for the visiting team to be able to get out of there. And I think from looking at that video, that's on, you know, they're not too far from the locker room. I think that's like the 20 to 25, if it's where the ad for Jones AT&T Stadium is, Cody Campbell Field. They're not that far. And he's, you know, turned around, walking away. And it's, yeah, he basically said he was happy that the composure, but there's got to be some measure of safety for guys who, you know, like a Gofu, probably went out there to shake hands and say good game and is walking back to his locker room. They got to be able to protect players. And like you mentioned with Tech, they have a propensity to rush the field. I'm not trying to clutch pearls here because, you know, I know that they have that propensity to rush the field. And sometimes it's kind of cool to see that. But there's something that I was always reminded about with hockey is that you go to the game and you see the fights and people like the fights, but the NHL will always say, hey, it's against the rules. You get a 5-minute major. You're not supposed to do it. Rushing the field, yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, it's a cool experience. I can kind of understand it, but it's against the rules, and Tech's going to get fined $25,000 by the conference, maybe even more now that this is their second one this year. But even so, it was a situation where the intended path that security makes for players to be able to try to go uninhibited into the locker room, it wasn't there. You don't shove a player like.
Let me interrupt. I want to talk about this because this is irritating to me. Tech's public response was good. Hey, we're going to try to find this guy, hold him to the letter of the law, et cetera. Great response. Where were you when a goalpost went right next to Mike McKinney and his family at Texas A&M when they celebrated it? And, you know, where were you when I'm glad you got tortillas from Stop Being Thrown, but what about everything else that gets thrown on the field
now? Those tortillas haven't been stopped yet.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. So it's nice that you're acting magnanimous at this point in time, but give me a break. It's been decades where in the name of fandom, you've created this idea where it's okay to really get away with this because it looks cool on TV to rush the field. And I've got to be honest with you. It is until this happens, you know, and this is why Texas tries to keep people off the field, including students. This is why other people do the same. It's why, you know, it's the incumbent upon the host university to keep players safe. Texas Tech, time and again, whether it's in this scenario or another, hasn't done that in Lubbock. I mean, it's just whether it's throwing stuff on the field or, you know, this kind of stuff whenever they have a big win. You mentioned clutching at pearls. It's not that.
Right.
I simply want Texas to have, or whoever goes there, to have a experience that I don't want it to be a nice experience. I want the fans to be raucous, and I want it to be a hot house, you know, where everybody's getting mad at the other team. And at the same time, let's get a little more control of the fans. Texas Tech is above that. I do like their response as a university. I think that's probably first and foremost, but now we need to see action and see how that rolls out for them. All right, Joe, I appreciate your time. Joe Cook, beat reporter, InsideTexas.com. $1 for 1 month on InsideTexas.com right now. Ian Boyd just posted an article not 30 minutes ago talking about all those fourth down conversions that I think is a great read for people that really are into that sort of stuff, breaking down each and every play. All right, for Joe Cook, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been On Texas Football.